104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Inside. Every heart in the glass has a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Last or short, you'll get your money's worth. With this show, it happened all right. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. Today is Saturday, the 9th of February, 2019. First of all, before I go any further, I want to say a very, very special happy birthday to a good friend of mine and a good friend of many, many people here at the university, the president of the university, Dr. Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado. Marco, I know you're listening. I want to say happy birthday. I hope you have a great, great day.
Happy birthday to you!
Marco is the man, or Dr. Cortez is the man that was responsible for us having the Good Morning Wake-Up Show here on the University of Guadalajara Radio here in Puerto Vallarta every Saturday. Him and I kind of dreamed this project up about 4.5 years ago, and he made it come to truth. And I want to say thank you very much to him. I've had so many people contact me over the last 4 years about how they appreciate the show, how they appreciate hearing what is going on here at the University of Guadalajara here in Puerto Vallarta, about all the different classes, be it the SWAM program or other classes for their children or grandchildren. Very, very many comments are about what's going on with all the charities and the local organizations that help so many people here in the Bay of Banderas. The information I give out is great for people to be able to get involved in other projects. So many of us expats, retired people, are down here with plenty of time in our hands. And by allowing the different organizations and different charities come on the show and tell what they do and the different projects they're doing has informed and educated the listening audience, and it's given them an opportunity to participate and get involved. And we do appreciate very much all of the different charities and organizations that take their time to come be on the radio show. But I want to say thank you again and happy birthday, very special happy birthday to Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, the great leader of this university. I hope you have a great day. Hope you have a great life. That being said, I also want to congratulate, we had 24 students graduate in the last week or so. As I mentioned last week, we had a bunch in the architecture class, which these guys and gals are going to go on and do great things. Many of their studies is basically how to design and engineer things that are earthquake-proof. As you know, many of the parts of Mexico have earthquake. A lot of them have some volcanoes, which can cause a lot of damage also. So this is something that they have been doing for many years, but it's getting more and more intense with the new kind of construction materials, new engineering. These students are just incredibly gifted, and I know they'll be able to work here in Mexico and also other places in the world. So very much congratulations to those architectural students. And also, on kind of a sad note, we had 13 students graduate in the visual arts. And it's great that they graduated, but the reason I say it's kind of sad is because we're going to be losing a couple of the students that have been here with the university for 3 or 4 years that have worked in the radio station. And they're here almost every day. They help out with the production, with the engineering, with the videos that some of the shows have, the green screen. They were learning their trade while they were going to school here. And we're going to lose a couple of them because of graduation. And we're very, very happy that they're graduating. They're going to go on to much bigger and better things. But it's also going to be a little sad not to see their cheerful faces here every day. So anyway, congratulations to them, and I wish them the very, very best. We've got a little bit of a phone call coming up here that I recorded actually last week. But a couple of girls called, and they wanted to know when we were having the next Science Saturday. Well, we are going to have another one on Saturday the 16th, next week. It's going to be very, very important information given out. What is Science Saturday? It's a program that is put on by the science departments here in the university. And the one coming up next week is going to be all about life in the marina or in the ocean. How diversified the ocean is. So it's basically set up for kids around 3 to high school age. They'll be able to come here at 10 o'clock in the main auditorium on campus and be able to learn an awful lot about marine life. All these kids know there's a giant body of water out there, and they know people go fishing in it, but they don't know all the details about the coral reefs, about the fungi, the algae, everything that's out there. The different wells that come in here, why do they come? So this is going to be a great opportunity for kids and adults. I've gone over to 4 or 5 of the Science Saturdays and learned an awful lot. But it's a great, great opportunity, a great program, and that's going to be held next Saturday on the 16th here at the campus at 10 o'clock. Also want to kind of touch base. Medical Matters is a very, very important medical event that's going to be taking place on Monday, February 11th, from 9 till 3 o'clock at the Marriott Hotel and Resort, there'll be everything medical. So if you need to know anything medical, we'll have probably 30-some-odd doctors there. There'll be numerous services, numerous corporations, companies that can help you out. Please take the time to go. I would advise going early because parking's not that great up and down that marina area, but there'll be at least, I think, a couple thousand people there. I think Pamela Thompson has about 20 doctors lined up to talk about all different topics. So just want to remind you that Medical Matters is coming up on February 11th. So be sure you take the time to go over there and do that. We've got about 4 interviews today. One of them is part about Medical Matters. It's all about pharmaceutical drugs. I have 2 experts in the subject here, Eleanor Hawthorne, registered pharmacist, retired, and Agatha Nolan, PhD in pharmacy, head of the pharmaceutical department of Hospital Corporation of America. So I've got 2 great, great experts talking all about prescriptions, prescription medicines, things like that. So be sure to get your information, I mean your pencil and paper out so you can take down information. We also have a conversation about a very important 7th annual chili cook-off coming up here in a couple weeks, and then also about a real estate fair that's going to be taking place in a couple weeks also. So right now it's time to go get your pencils and paper, get your breakfast burrito, your 2nd or 3rd or 5th cup of coffee, whatever, your glass of milk, your Wheaties, whatever you're partaking in this morning, and continue to listen to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We'll be on the air till 11 o'clock. I hope you enjoy the show. Hope you learn something. And I hope you like the music, because we're going to play some fun music, too. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Vagabond, I'm just a vagabond. Don't know where I belong. I'm just a vagabond.
Vagabond,
I'm just a vagabond. Don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world, yeah. Way down in Timbuktu, there's a lot of things to do. Dromedary's rendezvous, well, they say one hump's as good as two. And if you ain't too sore, head down to Bangalore, where there's motor cars forevermore. It's a past and present tug of war. Running rings around the world, just like a bumblebee. Come with me, there's room in my bag. Come with me!
Hey, vagabond,
yeah.
I'm just a vagabond, but I don't know where I belong.
I'm just a vagabond,
vagabond.
I'm just a vagabond, I don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world, yeah. Way down in old Peking, you can get just anything. Ducks are just a buck, a wing, and there's a lot of imitation made. Round the corner in Calcutta, there's a talented hair cutter. Turns the ladies into butter, sets their hair and hearts aflutter. Running rings around the world to where the mangoes grow. A wind behind me, what tomorrow brings, I don't know. I haven't a clue. Well, I don't know.
I'm just a vagabond.
I don't know where I belong. I'm just a vagabond, vagabond. I'm just a vagabond. I don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world. Hello,
goodbye.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah,
I don't know where I belong. I'm just a vagabond, vagabond. I'm just a vagabond. I don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world. Vagabond, I'm just a vagabond. I don't know where I belong. I'm just a vagabond, vagabond. I'm just a vagabond. I don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world. I'm just a vagabond. I don't know where I belong, but I belong in this world. I belong in this world. I belong in this world.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company
strangers in the quiet of the railway station, led and scared. Laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Bye-la-la-la. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Then I'm laying out my winter clothes and wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters are bleeding me. And a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains. Lie, la, lie, lie, la, lie, 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 lie.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. We are very fortunate to have Mr. Jay Sadler of the Jay Sadler Project and also Mr. Dennis Reich with the Jay Sadler Project here on the show today. Gentlemen, thank you for taking your time to visit with us.
Thank you, Michael. I'd like to talk about the Chili Cook-Off. It'll be the 7th annual edition, and then we'll talk about the Jay Sadler Project after that.
Okay, now this is the 7th annual Puerto Vallarta Chili Cook-Off. It is February 23rd at the El Rio Barbecue, same place as the last several years. And what time does it start this year? 1 o'clock?
It goes from 1 to 5, and the chili providers get there at 12, so they're all set up. They'll be ready to go by 1. Jim Sullivan is the chairman again this year, and I'm very fortunate to have him do that. We have an outstanding committee also working on the project, and there's competition trophies that will be awarded, one for the popular vote. And then we have 4 judges that come in there, and we also let them judge the chili. So it's 2 different competitions, popular vote and vote by the professionals. Anyone that's listening today that would like to make 5 gallons of chili, I'll give you my contact information at the end of this interview, and you can contact me because we still have room for a couple more. But it's 5 gallons of chili.
Well, as you know, I've competed the last 3 years and had more fun than I ever thought I would. It's a great event. The organization that the funds go to is fabulous. And unfortunately, this year I've got a prior engagement, so I can't be there. But so that gives at least 1 or 2 places for people to take.
Exactly.
And I've had a great fun. If you want to volunteer, make the chili, it's just a fabulous event, and you'll have a whole lot of fun, I guarantee you that.
Okay, I just want to mention a few of the places that are making chili. One is the All Access Bar down in the Romantic Zone. Andale's, you know, Jorge from Andale's is a big supporter of the Rotary at Rotary Serve in the marina. Captain Don's Bar. I finally got Coco Tropico, Heinz, to sign in this year. He did it a couple years ago, then went away because he was busy, but now he's going to help us. And always DZ Route 66 in the marina. And their daughter also has PV Cupcakes.
Victoria.
Yes. And she
they're good.
And she will be there, and she's got the most beautiful teeth you can imagine.
Best cupcakes in town, too.
And then we got El Torito Sports Bar. You can go there, place your bets. Escondida, Gringo Loco, Keller's Por Favor, Los Motos Brewing, and John Murphy, Murphy's Irish Pub. He's always raising money for our projects, and I'll talk about his Celtic Fest at the end. Nacho Daddy's, Cape Pasa, Rise, The Orphanage. And that's, I think we have 1 or 2 more, but they don't come to my head right now. But anyway, it's 250 pesos prior to the event at one of the bars that I mentioned, or 300 at the door. We really like the pre-sale because the door gets backed up sometimes when the blue bus comes there and you get like 10 or 12 people off the same time, then this inflates the line. So we're looking forward to that.
One positive this year, I hear they've completely redone the road.
Yes.
It used to be real nice for the first quarter mile, and then it was real rough for a while, but I hear they really completed it and made it really, really nice.
Yes, it's a concrete road all the way from 200 all the way up to the El Rio Barbecue, and it's really a pleasure to drive there. People still double park on occasion, but you just have to wait your turn to get past, but there's no more rough road. We also have the MCs, Pearl and Vera, and they characters from Greater Tuna, is a sabbatical comedy about small towns, so they'll be there doing it.
So Aunt Pearl's going to be there again this year?
Yeah, Aunt Pearl.
Well, of course, you know Aunt Pearl's my good friend from Encanto. And he's also an Oklahoman. He's one of the other fellow Oklahomans down here.
Okay.
So we're good friends. And let me ask you this. Last year you had a bus that would take you from one certain parking place or somewhere up the road, and you ride a bus?
Yes, we have a van service, and
okay.
We hired him again. And about half a mile up the road, there's a big parking lot. We hire a security firm, so we have security on the lot, and we run it back and forth. And that way there's plenty of parking. You don't have to worry about finding a place to park there. Parking is always available. We also have a couple bottles of Patron tequila we'll be raffling off. And it's the same thing this year as last year. If you bring a non-perishable item, we'll give you a free raffle ticket if you bring an item to donate. The food will be distributed to the needy. This year, our food went all the way up to San Blas when they had that terrible hurricane. And so they had a food drive at Soriano, and we took all the food there and was put to use there. So again, if you have a non-perishable item, we'll give you a free raffle ticket for 2 bottles of Patron tequila we're raffling off. In addition to that, we're going to try a silent auction this year, and we have some nice gifts from the hotels, and I have some premium Patron tequila we're also going to have for the silent auction.
Well, some people may not know how this works, and what it is, you come in, you pay your 300 some odd pesos, and you get to walk around for about an hour, 30 minutes, whatever, and sample every single restaurant or organization's chili. They all make about 5 gallons, and you get sample cups, and you go and get to try each one chili. One thing I learned from being a participant, the chili's all very, very different. Some people go with like a Texas chili, some people go with other types of chili, so you're going to get your full. You're going to get, what, 15 or 20 different samples?
Right.
And then you usually get some riblets.
A little order of riblets.
A little order for riblets, which I love.
And then you have some aqua water, flavored water also.
Oh, flavored water this year?
Charge, yeah.
So you add more and more, and then there's always refreshments and adult beverages that you can buy.
Right.
And then they have bands, they have music, they have entertainment, they have Aunt Pearl, and...
We have the Texas Embassy Blues Band from Nacho Daddy. We also have a very popular band called The Crew. We have Mickey Frost also singing, and then we have Dave Whitney that is appearing at Murphy's right now. He's down here from Nova Scotia playing a lot of Irish music.
And we mentioned it starts at 1 o'clock, and the entertainment goes till, what, 5, 6 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, and it's just a heck of a lot of fun. So you mentioned earlier you want to give out some contact information in case people want to get a hold of you. You want to go ahead and do that right now?
Yeah, I'll give you my email. It's my name. Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, the number 2, my last name Reich, R-I-K-E, at hotmail.com. I'll repeat that. Dennis2Reich at hotmail.com. Or my phone number is 322-138-8891. Again, 322-138-8891.
And, of course, that contact information is to get a hold of you in case you are a restaurant, an organization that wants to go ahead and enter for this year. As I mentioned earlier, the date is going to be February 23rd, so we still have a couple weeks. If you want to be one of the participants, one of the groups that makes the 5 gallons of chili, go ahead and contact Dennis, and he'll set up and give you all the rules and regulations and what you need to do. Dennis, what I want to do is right now let you close out about the chili festivals. Anything
okay.
else you want to say about that? And then we'll take a break, and we'll talk a bunch about this Jay Sadler project, okay?
Okay, sounds good, Michael.
Anything else you want to say about the chili project?
Well, I think we'll set it all. What I missed, you picked up. So
okay.
We're going to have door prizes, raffles, 50-50 drawings. You can also take the blue bus from Romantic Zone, the 04 blue bus. That'll take you up there. Or you can go by taxi, or if you got a car, bring your car. You know, we've got a place for you to park this year.
That sounds great. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Transmite XHUGPV 104.3 de FM. Radio Universidad de Guadalajara en Puerto Vallarta. Con 20.000 watts de potencia desde Avenida Universidad de Guadalajara número 203, Ixtapa, Jalisco, México. Radio Universidad de Guadalajara. Sistema Universitario de Radio, Televisión y Cinematografía.
No se debe dar ni un paso atrás en el combate contra el robo de combustible. El gobierno de México tiene el compromiso de combatir un delito que afecta a todos los mexicanos. Sabemos que estas acciones te están causando molestias, pero solo serán temporales. El beneficio será permanente. En México sí hay gasolina y estamos reforzando la seguridad de los ductos. Mientras tanto, cientos de pipas llevan combustible a las zonas afectadas. Es un reto monumental, pero juntos podemos superarlo. Ese es nuestro compromiso.
Gobierno de México.
¿Por qué tan pensativo?
¿Te imaginas poder regresar el tiempo? ¿Qué harías?
No sé, pero tú hubieras ido por tu INE a tiempo. La tramitaste desde el 2017.
¡Ay, no he ido a recogerla!
Tienes hasta el 28 de febrero. Si no, por ley será destruida y tendrás que tramitarla de nuevo.
¡Hoy mismo voy por mi INE!
Si solicitaste tu INE desde el 2017 y no has ido por ella, recógela en el módulo donde la tramitaste. Infórmate en INE.mx o en INETEL al 01800-433-2000.
Porque mi país me importa, me identifico con la democracia.
INE.
Octavo Congreso Internacional de Enfermería. Enfermería ante la obesidad, enfermedades metabólicas y su impacto en los sistemas de salud. Del 21 al 23 de febrero en Expo Guadalajara. Informes 3942-4400, extensión 49400. Hospital Civil de Guadalajara y Radio Universidad de Guadalajara invitan.
Congreso Internacional Avances en Medicina CIAM 2019. Módulos especializados con los temas de vanguardia en salud, en particular la obesidad y su impacto. Del 21 al 23 de febrero en Expo Guadalajara. Informes CIAMHCG.com. Hospital Civil de Guadalajara y Radio Universidad de Guadalajara invitan.
Esta es la señal para los que desean estar bien informados, para los que disfrutan de la cultura y la ciencia, para los que quieren vivir la pasión de los partidos de los Leones Negros, para toda la familia. Esta es la señal de todos. Muy pronto en Puerto Vallarta, por televisión abierta, canal 44 de la Universidad de Guadalajara. Espéralo.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to Good Morning Wake Up Show. We are continuing our conversation with Dennis Reich and Mr. Jay Sadler of the Jay Sadler Project. We just got through talking all about the 7th annual Puerto Vallarta Chili Cook-Off, which is February 23rd from 1 till 5 o'clock at the El Rio Barbecue. Dennis, I know the Jay Sadler Project just does project after project after project around the Bay of Banderas. Some really amazing things have been accomplished in the past, and y'all have a numerous projects going on right now. Would you explain to the listening audience a little bit about what is the Jay Sadler Project, how long you've been involved in all the different projects you've been working on, and what you have going on right now, how people can get involved and help y'all out in many, many ways?
Okay. The Jay Sadler Project Community Relations provides necessary resources to improve various charities and nonprofit institutions in the Banderas Bay area. It is approved by EHOS, which means that we're licensed by the state that raise money, and also supported by the Foundation Puta de Mita. If you're in the U.S. or Canada and you want to make a donation and you need a 501c tax deductible receipt, we can do that through the Foundation Puta de Mita. Or if you just want to donate some money here in Mexico, that's fine too. We did 38 projects in 2018, and we're off to a good start in 2019. We've been working at the Balcones Kids Education Program Center in the colony of Balcones, and we've been up there doing painting and repairs. And we made a 6x3 meter copy of the solar system and put it on the wall so the kids could get a good understanding of our solar system. We're getting ready to put a playground in DIVES. It's a area next to Oxtapa where the children and mothers go. There's overnight facilities now for the mothers and a place for them and the children to stay. They also provide a music training program. They have a sewing center there. It's quite a little complex. We're also going back to Vista Hermosa. John Murphy's running this charity pub quiz, and we're raising enough money to finish that project. We have to put a volleyball court in and put a wall in so the ball doesn't go out on the road. That we've been working on that project for 2 years. We've got another grant that we're going to be using for another playground. We just went out to a kindergarten in Puta de Mita. We did some repairs and maintenance for them out there. Then while we were up in Balcones, there was a kindergarten right next to where the kids' education program is, and they asked us to come and take a look at their bathrooms. And, you know, here it is. The school's beautiful shape, but the bathrooms were in terrible shape. They needed plumbing for the sinks. There's a little urinal for the boys, and it was cracked. And so the school would put a cover over the urinal, and all of a sudden you get the boys in there that have to use it. They'd rip the cover off, and the urinal was cracked. And guess where it would drain to? Right on the floor.
No, it's so unsanitary.
So anyway, that's back in first-class shape, but that's typical of what we do. We really specialize in kindergartens. Different schools have needs. It's community centers for seniors. We've done a lot of work for that. We work very closely with DEEF, and that's the social services part of the municipal government, and they've been very cooperative in supporting us over the years.
Well, I know you work not only I'd say the whole Bay of Banderas. You work up around Punta de Mita.
Right.
You work all the way up towards the mountains at Volcantes. I know you work in town.
Bolton Marcos.
You're just all over the place. And the projects you all have done have been very, very helpful. And I just don't think you all get the recognition you should. Mr. Sadler is so kind to help fund this. But we also needed volunteers. If you're a construction guy, a painter, a plumber, concrete person, and you retired down here or you're spending 3 or 4 months, please give up some of your time, contact Dennis, and come out and work with some of these projects. You'll feel so good about giving back, not only with your physical labor, but with your knowledge. I mean, you may have a specialty that they've been needing, and you could give some of your construction expertise or plumbing or electrical, whatever. They've done some fabulous projects, and I just don't think y'all get near the recognition that you should.
Michael, you know, our latest project is out in San Vicente. There's an area out there that has houses that are the worst houses I've ever seen. They're like squatter houses, several hundred of them, and they have a school out there, and it's there's two trailers set up, and the kids go to school there, and between the two trailers, we're building the kitchen. And I have the fathers helping me on Sundays, and that when I take a project on like this, I won't do it myself. I got to get the community in back of me. And we've got the community in back of us there. And so I buy the material, take it out there, have it delivered, whatever. And then on Sunday, I go out there in the afternoon, and I buy a couple chickens, a six-pack of beer for them, for the guys, and appreciate it. But right now, we just got to finish the structure. We got the material out there for the roof. And then I've got a team of electricians that are going in to do the electrical work. I'm buying the electrical stuff this week, and so we're moving right ahead. Then we got to find a way to buy a stove, refrigerator for the kitchen. We need a big deep sink, commercial quality for the dishes. Then we got to worry about the dishes and the pots and the pans, but we'll get it together.
Well, if someone wants to get involved, once again, I don't know if your contact information for the Jay Sadler project is the same as you gave earlier for the chili cook-off.
Yes, it is, Michael. Yes,
but
it is.
Would you mind giving that out one more time?
Sure. It's my email address is my name, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, the number 2, Reich, R-I-K-E, at hotmail.com. Dennis2Reich@hotmail.com or my phone number 322-138-8891. Again, 322-138-8891.
What else would you like to talk about? Any projects coming up in the future that you need help with or any other special events? You mentioned John Murphy, and they have a trivia walk where they all go to one bar and play trivia or something like that?
Yeah, we do that for 5 weeks, and that's a half over now, so it's a little late to sign up for there because you have teams. But what John does have coming up, he has a Celtic Fest coming up March 10th, and it'll be downtown at the park, at the Romantic Zone, and it'll be from 4 to 10, and he's got a lot of Irish music, Irish dancers coming in, so it's totally an Irish Celtic event. There'll be plenty of food there, and there's no charge to come. You come listen to the music, and hopefully you'll be hungry, and you'll buy some of the food that we're having there, and we're using that for a fundraiser. We got bagpipes will be in town for that, and then on March 13th, we're having a pre-St. Patrick's Day event at Murphy's, and the seating will be in 2 shifts, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and that the corned beef and cabbage will be discounted because on St. Patrick's Day, if you've ever been to Murphy's, good luck getting in. That place is jammed.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was here last year. I actually had 2 people from the International Film Festival in Cork, Ireland, and Fiona and Juan, or John, he came with me, and they couldn't believe they were sitting in an Irish pub right on the ocean. I think it's the Irish pub's most beautiful view of any Irish pub, with bagpipes, with drummers,
right,
a drum corps, all kinds of Irish food, and John was kind enough to squeeze us in for a little bit, but those people were just amazed that they are sitting at such a great place, Murphy's Irish Pub, on St. Patrick's Day, enjoying themselves.
The bagpipes come from Alberta, Canada. There's a whole group of them come down, and I give them transportation, and they like to ride in the back of my truck.
Well,
because they can't do it in Canada or the U.S., but for them, it's a big novelty.
Well, down here, yeah, it sure is.
Happy could be. But anyway, yeah, we're looking forward to that again this year. Like I said, John Murphy's a big supporter, and that he not only supports what we do, but when the Coast Guard comes in through the Navy League, they take the guys off the cutter and give them a free dinner, entertainment. So whenever you see a Coast Guard cutter in town, you know within a couple of days that they'll be at Murphy's Irish Pub, and that is sponsored by the Navy League.
And some of the Navy ships, when they're in here, they're rare.
Right, rare. You got that right.
They don't come in quite as often as the Coast Guard, but when they're here, they come over there too. And yeah, a lot of those guys will take time, some of the sailors, and they'll help you out with some of your projects.
Right, absolutely. Yep. They've done a lot of comrails over the years. We call it comrails, community relations, when they go out there.
Well, we appreciate everything you do. Mr. Sadler, you're here today. We appreciate, like I said, you and your project. Is there anything you'd like to say to the audience?
Yes, I'd like to say that Dennis is a marvelous person, and he's done so so many projects, and we appreciate him so terribly much. And Michael, too, has helped us with the radio advertising. So we have a lot of people that are working with us. We can always use more help, and but we carry on a lot of projects and do a lot for the Mexican citizens here in Puerto Vallarta. Once again, I'd like to thank Dennis. Thank you.
Dennis, you are, and I second that. And, you know, Mr. Sadler, this is your project, and so many people have been helped by this. So as spokesman for the whole Bay of Banderas, I was appointed that way. Do you know that, Dennis, didn't you?
Thank you very much.
The mayor gave me that appointment. We appreciate very much everything you do, and hopefully we can get a lot more people involved and just complete more great projects for the Bay of Banderas.
One thing in closing, if you'd like to see the projects that we do and some photos, you can go on to our website, which is www.jjaysadlerproject.com. And that say all of our projects are listed and photos to go with them.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking your time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I look forward to seeing you, I wish at the chili cook-off, but I'm sure everybody else will be there, and at some of the projects that you all are working on around the Bay of Banderas. So thank you very much for your time. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Boom, 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 bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, 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 bop, boom, bop, boom, 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 bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, 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 boom. I feel so good, come payday. I think of all the things I'm gonna buy when I pick up my pay, don't you know? But then they hand me that little brown envelope. I peep inside in order to lose all hope. 'Cause from those total wages earned down to that net amount that's due, I feel a painful sense of loss between the two. Federal tax. There goes that bracelet for her arm. County tax. There goes that new fence for my farm. State income tax. There goes that brand new Pontiac. Withholding tax. There goes the shirt right off my back. You can dream about a honeymoon for two. You can dream, but that's about all you can do. 'Cause by the time old Uncle Sam gets through with you, you can buy her a pair of hose, a little powder for her nose, and take her down to Sloppy Joe's for beer and stew. Them are the facts. After tax, you can dream about vacation.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show, everybody. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. Today I am very, very fortunate to have what I call one of the icons of real estate here in the Bay of Banderas area, Mr. Carl Timothy. Mr. Timothy, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
I saw in one of the papers about a very exciting event taking place here in just a couple of weeks, or a week, I guess, or so, the Puerto Vallarta or Bay of Banderas Real Estate Fair. And I wanted to find out all the details on that so you can tell all the listening audience. But first, if you don't mind, do you mind if I call you Carl?
No, that's fine.
Sure. Can you give us a short bio, kind of how you started career down here, where you're from originally, and a little bit of that?
Sure, of course.
Thank you.
I started my real estate career in Park City, Utah, at the ski resort. And from there, moved to Los Angeles, and I helped open up the John Arrow office in the Pacific Design Center in West Hollywood for the John Arrow company. And then later I moved to Beverly Hills with Prudential Realty and was enjoying the experience, and things were going quite well for me. But it was the atmosphere was not something that that was, I don't know, it's difficult to go to work and if you're not enjoying your day. So I fell in love with Puerto Vallarta and took the jump and moved down here, and I've been here for 19 years now.
Just saying, if you'd have stayed a little long, you might have your own reality TV show selling exactly. Multi-million dollar properties in Malibu.
Actually, we have filmed 19 episodes of House Hunters International.
I understand. Yeah, you just finished up another one, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Actually, we're out there filming right now today.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. If you ever need a stand-in, I'm kind of like a movie extra. I try and squeeze in wherever I can. So I could be one of the guys mowing the yard or something. Well, so you've been down here 19 years, and you started a real estate company when you first came, or did you go ahead and work for somebody else for a while?
I worked for somebody else for a while. When I came down here, the invitation was to come down and be a partner in a company, and that's how I moved down here. And we had to, one of the partners passed away, and so I opened up my own company. And we've been in operation since 2010, and according to MLS statistics, the company has been number one since 2011.
Well, that's a great accomplishment, and I guess that's one of the main reasons you're the vice president of the Puerto Vallarta Board of Realtors.
Yeah, well, so probably.
You work hard, and you get to move up the ladder a little bit. That's probably a lot more work than you wanted.
It is a lot of work, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate that. Before we go much further, would you mind giving out your contact information? If someone that's listening today needs to know something about real estate, when someone's kind like yourself and comes on the show, I like to give you all the opportunity to give out your information. So if there's something today we talk about, they can contact you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I would love to do that. TimothyRealEstateGroup.com is the website. So we've got most of the information that you could need on there. The website also has two options of being able to search for properties. You can search in the AMPI MLS system for all of the properties in the Bay, or you can search our properties that we have online on the website. There's also information there, facts and things like that, questions that people often ask us. We've got some answers for that on the website as well. And the main office here is located in the Romantic Zone, just as you come over the bridge into the Romantic Zone.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that website. Is that kind of like MultiList? I'm kind of more familiar with MultiList in the States.
Yeah, but we have it is a multi-listing service. There are two MLS systems here in town. There's the MultiList, and there's the AMPI Vallarta Nayarit MLS system. And that's where the AMPI professional agents are all listing their properties.
Well, you mentioned professional agents. I want to talk a little bit more about that a little later on. But first I want to, if you don't mind, we have a very major event coming up. I'm calling it the Puerto Vallarta Real Estate Fair 2019. And can you talk a little bit about this event that's coming up and give the dates out and the times and just the general information, please?
Sure. We're really excited this year because we've opened up the Vallarta Real Estate Fair to all of the AMPI agents this year. This is going to be the seventh year that we've held the event. And it's been a super popular event for, it just keeps growing. And so we're really excited to have like twice the participation this year. It's going to be on Saturday, February 16th from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've got some really incredible panel of a great panel of speakers this year. At 10:30 in the morning, we're going to have a U.S. accountant, a Canadian accountant, a Mexican accountant, and a representative from Monex Bank, who is going to talk about investment opportunities here for us foreigners. And the information they're going to help us with, changes in taxes. How do I pay taxes? Do I have to pay taxes here? What happens if I'm renting a property? Am I supposed to report that? What are the guidelines for all of that? And it's just it's always a great panel discussion.
Well, that's great that you have that, where people can go back and forth with the experts and get the real information and not what somebody else tells them, because we get a lot of that down here.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation that goes around.
Now, where exactly is the event going to be held?
The event's going to be held on the corner of Aquiles Cerdán and Ignacio L. Vallarta.
Okay.
And so it's easy to find.
I know where Costco is, and I kind of use Costco as like Times Square in New York City.
Okay.
Because everybody that's an expat knows where Costco is.
Yes.
I had one lady say, well, you need to use Walmart, because I know where the Walmart are. I said, well, there's three of those. And actually, I had one guy said, well, where is it from Oxo? We were talking about the Bibliotecas Mangos. I said, well, there's 2,000 Oxos in the Bay of Banderas. Which one are you talking about? Okay. And again, can you give the time, please? It's the 16th.
It's the Saturday, the 16th of February, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And it's free?
It's free. It's
open to the public?
Free. Open to the public. The exhibitors there, the exhibitors we have this year are really a great group of people. We've got veterinary services. We've got air conditioning people, solar panel people.
That's fabulous.
Mortgage brokers, just all sorts of information available. Healthcare.
So it's kind of medical matters, but instead of everything medical, it's everything real estate.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'd be sure to come to that, because I have some questions, and I'm sure a lot more of my listening audience will be emailing me questions after this conversation, and after that I'm going to send them to you.
Okay, no problem. That's great.
So that's great. Again, it's the 7th annual Puerto Vallarta Real Estate Fair. It's going to be on Saturday the 16th, and I think everybody needs to go to it.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be entertainment, and the information that you get here is, you know, it's going to... Capital gains tax seems to be an issue for people if they, you know, that's lots of misinformation, things like that, that you can kind of get a grasp on so you can do your planning.
Well, I was talking to my next door neighbor, who's a Canadian, who's owned a house here for about 9 or 10 years, and he's thinking about going on to something else's life, and he said, well, I can't sell my house because of capital gains tax. So he had a lot of questions for me to ask you. I'm just going to say, go to the fair and learn it yourself.
Exactly. That's the best way to do it, to hear from the professionals.
That's exactly right. Well, that's a great opportunity for everybody to go, and I'm really, really excited that y'all are having this event. I just thought I might open it up. Is there anything else you will say about the real estate fair?
Just we hope to see you here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple questions. How is the real estate market here in Puerto Vallarta? I know it's really, really growing. You see a lot of construction, not only in the big resorts, but a lot of condos, a lot of private houses, and of course, to build all this, you need a lot more workers. So you have to build homes, or they have to have places to stay. And
exactly.
So I know it's been growing over the last couple of years, but with, you know, things change.
Right.
I know down in 08, the market really, really went down for several years, but I think it's kind of upwards trend. That's my opinion. You're the expert. Please tell us what's going on with it.
The market has been, the 2018 market was a stellar year for us. It was a great year here in the Bay. I have a few statistics. I don't want to bore anybody, but...
Well, I want you to bore me if you don't want. But before that, we have to take a short little break.
Okay.
My producers tell me we need to take a break, and we're going to do that. And we'll be right back with Carl Timothy of the Timothy Real Estate Group. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Carl Timothy, the Vice President of the Viarta Real Estate Association. Is that the proper title?
Yeah, MP Realtor Association.
Right before we left, he had mentioned that 2018 was a stellar year. I'm going to let you go ahead and take off and say the rest of what you were going to say.
Okay, great. Well, I've got a few statistics that we sent out. In the MP Association, we've sent out a survey once a recorded sale gets reported in the system to the agents, just to get a little bit of feedback about who our buyers are, where they're coming from, that kind of thing. And so we've got some interesting information about that. Also from the MLS system, it was really exciting for me to see that for condominium sales here, and I'm talking about between 2017 and 2018, the percentage of difference. In 2018, sales were up 232% over 2017.
232%.
Mm-hmm.
And 17 was a good year.
It was a good year. In 2018, sales volume, the volume of sales was up 249% over 2017.
Wow.
Average sales price is up for condominiums. I'm talking about condominiums. Is up 5%. And the difference between an asking price and the real sales price has dropped by 2%.
Okay.
So the average discounted price at this point for condominiums off of an asking price is about 6%. And for homes, it looks pretty similar. The 2008 number of sales is up by 223% over 2017. Sales volume is up by 234%. These numbers in 200, over 200, is amazing for us. We haven't seen this in a very long time. The sales volume is up 234% over 2017. 2018 average sales prices are up by 3% over 2017. And the difference between the asking price and the real sales price on homes remained the same. So there wasn't a change in that. The strongest part of the market is the $200,000 and under range. That's the biggest part of the market. It was 40% of the market this last year. And the largest age group, the buyer's age group, is really the largest group is between 55 years old and 64 years old. And the second largest group is the 45 to 54 age group. So that's kind of where the basic age group is for the AMPI membership.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because it's kind of the tail end. I'm 64, almost 65. The tail end of the baby boomers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a lot of them have done, you know, extremely well. They're retiring. They're tired of living in the United States. They want to come down here for the beautiful weather and all the cost of living. You can buy so much more here. I think you can buy more here than you can than from where I was from, Oklahoma or Texas. But if you get to the East or West Coast, it's like, you know, Katie bar the door. If you're in California, if you're in Washington, Seattle, New York, the East Coast, you get two or three times for your money here what you could there.
Exactly. Plus the quality of life here.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. You know, it's just a super lifestyle.
But you've been here a while. I've only been here 5 years. It's getting almost too busy. I mean, with the infrastructure.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We have a lot of growth. There's a lot of demand. A lot of people want to be here.
That's another whole show, though.
That is. We can talk about that another time.
Well, I appreciate you giving the under 200,000, 40% of the market. Is that mainly condos or are those older homes?
Mm-hmm. Condominiums are the biggest part of the market.
Okay, and we've had a huge boom in building, especially here in the Old Town area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pro and cons. I've heard both good and bad about that from my listeners, but that's another show also. U.S. citizens and Canadians, and we're having more Europeans come. Do you know what percentage of the market goes to those groups?
The U.S. citizens that are living abroad that have purchased in the market here are 38%. 38% of the AMPI buyers are U.S. citizens that are living abroad. And we've got 8% of the market, U.S. citizens, who are purchasing again. That means they're selling and then repurchasing another property here. There's 8% of that are U.S. citizens that are in the market. So, you know, we've got about 46% of the U.S. citizens are driving the market right now. And Canadians living abroad, there were 14% of, they were 14% of the market. And Canadians living in Mexico, they were an additional 5%. So about 19% of the market for the AMPI agents are Canadian. And the balance, the other 31%, are Mexican market. You know, Mexicans have a little bit of an advantage here. We've got more Mexicans investing here in Vallarta right now because they can protect their dollars here. We our market is dollars. Mm-hmm. And so if you buy a property here, it's going to be, the price is going to be in U.S. dollars more often than not when you're working with the AMPI Realtor Group. And that means that you can invest your dollars in real estate and let those dollars grow in this kind of a market. So we've had a lot more investment from Mexicans in properties just as investment.
Well, you know, I know in my neighborhood, I've seen 4 or 5 families from Guadalajara come over or other parts of Mexico, buy homes, 2 or 3 brothers or 2 or 3 sisters together. They buy a home, then they all kind of use it as a second or third home to get away from Guadalajara, Mexico City, or wherever it might be. Mm-hmm. And they're not there all the time. That's a question I had. The percentages of homes out here, what percentage are lived in full-time? And which ones are like vacation homes where the Canadians come down for 4 or 5 months, the snowbirds, or the Americans, or maybe hot weekenders for Easter and Christmas for the Mexican families that come over? Is there any way to know that?
I've never heard that. I would love to know those numbers, though. That would be a really interesting thing. I know, you know, it just depends. In this area, I think there's probably, you know, a 75% decrease in permanent residents, or people that are using their properties here.
Yeah. You know, a lot of renting goes on.
It doesn't mean that they're not rented.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me ask you another question. A friend of mine asked me, he's renting a home right now, mm-hmm. but he's wanting to buy. And he noticed that he was told that the percentage rate, 15-16%. And that's kind of what the rate for a mortgage loan was back in the States, back in the late 70s uh-huh. and early 80s.
Yeah, I had one at 14%. Yeah.
I got a hell of a deal on a government bond at 11.95 in 1978.
Uh-huh.
My friends were paying 16-17%, but I was American Indian. So American Indian, I got a discount from the government, but it was only 11.95. It was 12%, basically.
Yeah.
I bought my last home in Texas about, 12 years ago, and I think I had 2.5% interest or something like that. I mean, it was ridiculously low. Yeah. And that makes a huge difference in what you're paying per month.
It does.
What can an American or Canadian, if they want to buy a house here or a condo, can they finance it in the States? I can go to whatever, Wells Fargo, Chase, whoever, borrow the money there and come down and buy the property here in with cash?
The only way you could do that is if you wanted to take out a second mortgage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you own a home there, you can take a mortgage credit here and take that money and buy it cash.
Since the guarantee is going to be the property and the property is located in Mexico, it would have to be a second mortgage on a home or a property.
There's no international banks that have services in both countries?
No.
Like social banks?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Now, you have here percentage of buyers that buy with cash, use Mexican bank financing. Can you kind of go over those details, please?
Yeah, in last year, 73% of the buyers in 2018 paid cash for their properties. In other words, at closing, they just paid the full amount.
They sold their house in Los Angeles and decided to come out here and buy another.
Whatever they did, yeah. They took their whatever they were saving up and they purchased, they paid 100% for the property. 10% used a local Mexican bank financing, and that is getting more popular. I've seen that getting much more popular actually here. You can get bank loans from a number of companies now. And there are some good mortgage brokers here in town as well now. So, and they will be at the fair on the 16th. So if you were interested in talking to somebody about what the exact rates would be, More than not, the interest rates for mortgages here in Mexico with Mexican banks are about 8-9%, depending on the package that you
buy. So it's a lot lower than what my friend was told.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, 8-9%. Yeah. Okay.
And then 13% of the people that purchased last year, the developer carried some kind of financing for them. So that's how the financing went for last year.
You mentioned we have some really, really good brokers here, and a good opportunity for people to get connected to one would be to come to the real estate fair, right?
Exactly. And actually, for the first time in a long time that I've heard of, there are some commercial property loans available now.
Great.
So that you can find out about that at the fair as well.
Let me ask you a question. I think in the States, it used to be about the percent that the real estate agent made was about 6%. 5-6%, usually around 6. If he listed the house and sold it, he got to keep it all. If he listed the house and she sold it, another real estate agent, she kept 3%. So that's about 6%. Is that kind of comparable to what it is down here?
Well, obviously, commission rates are negotiable between the parties.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they can go, you know, they can be a set amount, they can be a percentage, they can be anything. So those are always negotiable with the client. But basic rates here would be run between 6-8%. 6% if the property is over $1 million or something like that, a higher end property, or you know, it's all negotiable. It just depends.
Okay.
Usually, when we represent a development, we pay any company or any agents a commission if they bring somebody to one of our new construction projects.
I was going to ask you another question that a viewer asked me to ask you. How can someone reduce their capital gains taxes when they sell a property here in Mexico? If they own a house, they sell it, there's capital gains. Can they reduce that at all?
Yeah, there are a number of different strategies that can be used. But when just as a basic information thing, every person on title can be exempt for up to over 7,000 UDIs. And UDIs is kind of like it's a government figured number that has to do with inflation rates and all that kind of stuff. And an UDI right now would probably, with this 7,000 UDIs, it would probably represent, you could be exempt for $190,000, everybody who's on title.
Okay.
Okay, so if you've got the husband and wife both on title, you're going to be able to get twice that as an exemption. So off the bat, that is what you can qualify for if you have a visa, either a temporary visa or a permanent visa, and if you get a Mexican taxpayer ID number.
Okay.
So you can do that. It's called an RFC. The Mexican taxpayer ID number is called an RFC, and they're not difficult to get. You can get those in a matter of a day or so. Those are two ways you can do it. Also, you know, there are some, I would always suggest to talk to a professional realtor or even set an appointment with the notary's office to see if there are other ways that you can reduce it. You know, if you have made improvements to the property, you can work out solutions for that to be able to reduce your capital gains tax a bit. There are a number of different avenues, and I would just suggest that the best way to do that is to handle this either directly with the notary or come to one of us and talk to us, and we can we have attorneys here in-house or many of the offices do that can help negotiate that and try to get that minimized as much as possible.
Well, this is a topic like the Social Security, like the income taxes, insurance that I have people on my show. They're pretty complicated,
mm-hmm.
and everyone is individually different, so we have to come and talk to an expert like yourself. We're going to take another break, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Can you stay over for about another 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake-Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Carl Timothy, the Vice President of the Puerto Vallarta Real Estate Group, and we were talking about different things that you can do as far as taxes, capital gains. Do you have anything else you'd like to say on that topic?
Capital gains can be a little bit confusing. So I think it would be great if somebody is interested in selling. Now is actually a really great time to sell a property. The market is healthy, really healthy, and it would be a good time if somebody was interested in doing that. And
okay.
The best thing to do would be to reach out to a professional to get. Whenever we take a listing, we always do the capital gains calculation up front before we take the listing, so everybody knows exactly what avenues to take moving forward.
I got a question. In the United States, you have to have a real estate license. I have several friends that, been in the real estate business for years. They take a 6-8 month school, maybe a couple times in the evening. If they're a professional doing something else and want to get in the real estate business, they'll take a school. Or some just, can do it in several months. But you have to take classes. You have to be able to take a state test to be able to sell real estate. You have to have a license. Do you have to do that here in Mexico?
Mexico is just now starting with a few states that have a licensing requirement. There are a couple states now. Here in Puerto Vallarta, we've been recently contacted by Jalisco, the state, to help us. They've asked us to kind of help put together some rules and regulations on what that licensing requirement should look like, what the educational process should be for that, and in order to try to get a little bit more professionalism on a statewide and a nationwide, actually, platform. So we have had some meetings about this, and it's a work in process here for Jalisco still. So right now, today, there is no licensing requirement. A taxi driver could...
I think I had one try to sell me a house one time. Needed a ride out there. The agent didn't make it. It was up by San Pancho or something. The agent didn't make it. And so the tax driver goes, I can show you that house as long as I get past security.
Yeah, so I don't think that's the safest route to take. So I would.
Well, he wasn't that great of a taxi driver, so I know he wasn't going to be a good real estate person.
All right. But yeah, we are working on trying to get some rules and regulations put together for that. And I see that coming to Jalisco soon, and I think that's going to be spreading throughout the rest of the country a little bit faster.
Well, that's just another main reason that anybody interested in the real estate business, buying or selling, should contact a professional company's real estate group. A couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
For new construction projects, how do you do the sales work on that? Or because you're not really needing a real estate agent to show you homes or this, that, and the other. How are the monies paid to the developer? Can you kind of answer that for us?
Sure. Well, most pre-construction developments, if you're interested in a unit, there's a 30%, 35% deposit up front, and then payments are made with the progress of the construction. A number of the developments here are holding, these funds in a trust. So when a buyer actually makes his deposit of 30%, he is now a member, he's part of that trust, and those funds, he has something. It's in a trust. He owns part of that pie as he does that. So that's one of the avenues that can be used. And then basically just payments are made with the progress. So when the building gets half up, another payment is due, or sometimes the developer will work out a monthly, a payment every month. So there are a couple different ways to take a look at that.
If you buy a new construction development, or if you're in a new construction development, is there any warranties on the construction?
Yes, there are. There's a 12-month warranty on new construction. So just as a caveat for that, if the developer happened to buy the dishwashers too soon, then the warranties on those dishwashers are going to run out. So, but there is, and once the property gets delivered on all the construction, the warranties are going to be in effect for 12 months. And so, obviously, sometimes people take possession of a little bit early, and their 12 months is going to start as soon as they take possession. But that's how we work here. So it's nice. At least for the first 12 months, anything that is not working is going to be repaired.
Well, there's some great new projects going on. Not only the big, you look at some of the big development corporations like Vedanta. I mean, what they're building out there is just, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
And I've tried to get them on my radio show numerous times over the last 4 years, and they're kind of reluctant. There's a lot of reasons for that. But there's some other big, big developers here that are coming in. I know the marina area. I've had a lot of concerns from my listeners about the marina areas getting overdeveloped. Same thing with a lot of the seniors that have lived here in the old town for many, many years. They think, well, I had a view, but I don't need more than a 10-story building in front of me. But that's growth.
It is. Yes.
It's just unfortunate, but that's growth. We're having an awful lot of that for so many reasons. So there's really not much you can do about that.
There isn't. Mexico is growing. You know, more than half of the country is 25 years or older. I mean, younger.
Really?
There's a lot of growth going on in Mexico.
Well, we are living on the fun side of the wall.
Yes, we are.
As everybody says.
Yeah.
But
that's, we are.
And if someone's an older person, they've had their house for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, like some of our SWAM students.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a great program for senior citizens education. Anybody over 60 can come get free education at the university, 30 different classes. And a lot of the ones are the ones I've been hearing out. They've lived in the older part of Puerto Vallarta for years, and they're saying, well, this, that, and the other, you know, they're blocking up the streets or doing this construction. But they have a great opportunity to sell that property that they've owned for 40 or 50 years and make quite a bit of money.
Yes, probably, and move to somewhere, the
neighborhoods, the barrios.
Yes, if you wanted to do that, that would be an option. Yeah.
So there are some great opportunities for not just people coming here and buying, but also people who've been living here for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I own my property in a trust, does it depreciate like a lease property might? Or,
you know, often, you know, I think this is a misconception, and I get asked this all the time. People think that if your property is held in a trust and in a bank trust, that it's going to depreciate because for a contract to be valid, a contract needs to have an ending date. And so the trust, if you open up a new trust right now, it's going to be an automatic 50-year contract unless you decide you want it for a less time. You own your property. It doesn't matter if your trust expires, you just renew it, or you can change your trust bank to another bank or whatever. But so the fact that you have 25 years left on your trust doesn't mean that your property is depreciated. Your property has remained the same and hopefully had a great increase or some healthy growth throughout the year. So that is a misnomer that many people think it happens here because the property is held in a trust.
Well, I've asked you a lot of questions. You've given out a ton of information. I really, really am appreciated. Anything else in closing? Because I've taken up a lot of your time, and I really appreciate it.
I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much. Really, really, really do. I just hope that everybody will be able to participate. Come and see us at the Real Estate Fair. There's going to be some fun information there, or some important information, and there's going to be some fun entertainment. So hope to see everybody there. That's on February 16th. From 9 to 2 in the afternoon, the Vallarta Real Estate Fair.
And where exactly is it again?
On the corner of Aquiles Cerdán and Ignacio L. Vallarta, right here just behind Molino de Agua.
Okay, if you're an old guy like me and you don't know any of the names of any street except Federal 200, is there a landmark?
This side
of the Quali River, that side of the Omega River?
At the Quali River as you come into town.
The bottom of the bridge.
Bottom of the bridge.
Kind of where your office is.
Exactly.
And Intercam Bank.
Yes.
I got to give a shout out to my good friend Jason Lavender.
There you go.
He's president of the bank and he's been on the show a lot of times.
Has he? Yeah, he's a good guy.
Before we leave, I want to say one thing. I go to a lot of events here in the Bay of Banderas. I mean, everything. My favorite one so far in 4 years is going to have a cocktail party with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
That would be fun.
That was a fun evening. and then they had a bikini fashion show. So,
yeah.
You know, if somebody can beat that, let me know. Invite me. I'll be there. But I see your name, the company's name, Timothy Real Estate Group, all over for charitable stuff. You guys give back to the community. You guys really want to help out. And that's important to be. What you do to the area. So thank you very, very much for giving back to the community, and you help in so many ways.
Thank you.
That people just need to know that you aren't just making money, you're giving back, you're paying back the community, you're helping with all the different projects that need to be done.
Thank you so much.
And you do that, and you're a very, very great corporate sponsor for a lot of events, so thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It really is.
Mr. Timothy, Carl Timothy, president of Timothy Real Estate Group, I want to say thank you again for taking time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. If something comes up, a major event, there'll be another one next year, the 8th annual, so
yes,
I'll have you back on again then.
Yeah.
But between now and then, if there's a major change, if something comes up, let me know, and I'd love to have you back on the show.
Great, I'd love to.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Add a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
Thank you and welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Wake Up Show here at University of Guadalajara Radio, FM 104.3. We've got two distinguished guests this morning. We're going to be having a conversation about pharmaceutical medicine and medications. I'm pleased to have Agatha Nolan, a pharmacist from the United States, in Nashville, Tennessee. She's worked in the pharmaceutical industry for over 40 years. And also Eleanor Hawthorne, who is a pharmacist from New Zealand. She's been registered as a pharmacist in New Zealand since 1960 and has lived here in the Port of Ayrhardy area for about 6 years. Welcome, ladies. I'm going to say thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Michael.
This morning, we just want to talk a little bit about medication and pharmacies. A lot of people from the United States and Canada, the English-speaking population who we're trying to reach out to here, live part-time here, live full-time here, come from Canada, the United States. And when they come down, a lot of times they run out of their medications or the prescriptions, and they're obligated to take, and they need to go over and get new medicines. And sometimes there's questions if the medicine's safe, if it's not safe. So we're talking a little bit about that today. They're going to be able to cover this topic. And so we'll kind of open it up. Please call if you have any questions and would like to talk to either one of our guests at 226-2233 or 226-2266. I'm going to go ahead and ask a question and just open it up to Agatha and Eleanor. The prescriptions that people come when they bring with them usually 2 or 3 months supply when they come down from the States. And if they run out, do you feel it's safe to go ahead and have them filled here at the pharmacies?
My own experience is that when I first came to live in Mexico, I was on medication. And after I had visited the doctor here, I found that I could get exactly the same medication here. Now, I'm being a pharmacist, I guess I put a lot of faith in researched medicines. So I was very fortunate that I could get exactly the same brand of medicine here that I had got in New Zealand. So that gave me a lot of confidence. I know there are a lot of generic medicines here, available here in Mexico. And my feeling is, from experience with other visitors to this country, that the quality of those medicines is very good.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with Eleanor. Our experience, and I lived in San Antonio for quite some time, for about 10 years, and many of the drugs that are available in Mexico are actually identical to the ones that you could get from the United States. I would strongly recommend relying on a pharmacist. It's important to have the drugs coming through, as Eleanor said, the brand name or the reputable places. I know in many cases the pharmacists carry identical medications. I would be a little wary of buying them, say, kind of off the street or from mm-hmm. someone who wasn't actually working in a pharmacy and buying them from a reputable manufacturer.
Great. Second question I was going to ask you, now that we've established the fact that they can't get the identical medication, a lot of our population, especially the people we're talking to this morning, are fluent in English but not in Spanish. Are the names of the medications
the same in English as they are in Spanish? I know the translation might be a little bit hard. How would you suggest translating the name of the medicine, or should the pharmacist be able to have a cross-reference?
I think you'll find when you go into a pharmacy here that they do have a cross-reference in their computers. But my own experience is that the names, although they've been translated into a Spanish format, are still easily recognizable as the generic names that people are used to in the United States or Canada.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with Eleanor. There also are wonderful references on the internet from the United States that also can help you if you'd like to double-check or cross-reference. The University of Texas in Austin, I believe, provides that service through one of their drug information centers. So I'd encourage you also to use the internet to match up things, just, again, to double-check that they are the same medication.
Are there any particular websites that you know of? You mentioned the University of Texas. Can you just Google University of Texas
Yes,
and
typically.
Kind of wander through it?
Yes, or Mexican drugs would be a key word, Mexican medications, and then they would give you what the United States equivalent was. You can also, certainly if you are a seasonal visitor to Puerto Vallarta, I would encourage you when you are, say, in the United States, to have them look up references for you and bring a list of the drugs and their Mexican equivalents, so that way it makes it even easier for the pharmacist here to match them up.
That's a great idea. Do it, pre-plan and make sure you have the names in English and Spanish when you come down. Or I guess you could take your prescription bottle and go to the pharmacist and just show it to them and they can cross-reference this.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. This may not be relevant, but it may to a lot of people. Price. Are you either one familiar what, say you're going to buy 50 capsules of this, that, or the other in the United States or Canada? Do you think the cost down here would be about the same, or would it be less, more? Should people, when they're down here, stock up if the price is a lot better and you're getting the same drug?
I think from my experience that the prices are very reasonable here, but you have to remember that I come from a country which has a system very similar to the Canadian system, and therefore the government actually decides the price of any medication and in fact pays for it other than a patient co-payment. So I don't think I'm really the right person to ask about price here.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Eleanor. My experience in traveling to Mexico is that the drugs in general are probably a little bit cheaper. Certainly, you know, insurance would be different here as compared to the United States. But just as a precaution, even in the United States, once a prescription is filled, we typically say that you shouldn't keep it in your medicine cabinet for more than a year. So I would say if you were going to try and stock up on medications, that would be a good time frame to really not exceed, because some of the medications aren't quite as effective after they've been out of their original packaging for more than a year.
And another thing to consider here is the climate. I think things deteriorate here more quickly than they do in a colder climate, and that's another consideration that needs to be taken into account, and I think Atticus is very right.
Well, that's great information. I mean, the storage, I know it usually says keeping a
Cool place.
You're the experts. Tell me what y'all learned in school and what they say.
Oh, yes. Well, we learned all of that, and certainly storage conditions are very important, and all medications come with a use-by date. So I think that we need to be very conscious of that, particularly in this climate.
And I think I stepped on your voices, so say one more time. It's cool, dry place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's correct. Cool, dry. In fact, the old medicine cabinets in your bathroom are probably the worst place to store medications. But you should be careful, particularly if you have medications, say, that you might carry in your purse throughout the day. If you're going to be out in the heat a lot, that you would want to keep those a shorter period of time than ones that are always at your house and in controlled climate conditions. So,
well, since we learned the medicine cabinets in the bathrooms are the worst, what are the ideal conditions? You realize the temperature here is 60 to 90 degrees, 95 in the summer. Humidity is always high here. putting them in a glass container and burying them in your backyard, or like I do all my money?
Yes, certainly. I always recommend that the best place for your medicines is the place that you will remember to take them. Any place in your house, again, the kitchen where you're going to have oven heat is probably not an ideal place, but any place that's kind of cool and dry in your home is really the best place. And as I say, if you have to travel with them in your purse or in a briefcase throughout the day, you probably need to take a very small supply, like maybe just a day's worth with you, and then resupply that frequently.
That's great information. I play a lot of golf, and one of my golfing companions takes a certain medication early in the morning. We usually play golf early in the morning, and he's usually pretty drowsy or pretty disoriented after taking this particular medication. I'm not exactly sure what he takes, but I don't know if it's just his golf game. He says he's dizzy, and that's why he had a couple bad shots in a row, blaming that medicines. But everybody out here is very active. We're at the beach. We're playing golf. We're fishing, surfing, whatever we're doing, but walking a lot on the Malecone. When, I guess you have certain hours of the day. Is there a better time to take medication than, I mean, the morning? If you need to take one tablet a day, is it best to take it when you first get out of bed, or at lunchtime, or at dinner? Say you're on several medications, should you space them out?
That's really hard to say, and it depends on the medication. Okay. There are some that are truly better taken in the evening. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't know about your friend in particular, but certainly if it's a medication to help sleep, early or in the evening, so that you don't, you certainly don't want to take that at like 3 o'clock in the morning, because that'll make you drowsy. But it really probably relying on your doctor or your pharmacist to ask that question, because each of the medications will be a little bit differently. But certainly medications, you're right, can have that effect of drowsiness. In this climate, I would recommend certainly staying hydrated at all times, because the medications do have a different impact if you're a little bit low on water. So that's really important to make sure that you take them with a full glass of water, and then also throughout the day.
Now, the dehydration is very important down here all the time, and I think H2O or water is much better than the favorite margarita down on the beach. But well, I appreciate your information. That's important, I think, to a lot of people that are very active. I know medications, the few times I've been on them, do have an effect on my body, not only trying to help me get better, but also maybe cause some drowsiness, or maybe not quite agile as I should be. And if you're doing athletic events such as surfing or fishing, things like that, you should make sure that your equilibrium's in good shape. Next question I have for both of you ladies is prescriptions, medications that you get from a doctor versus just a recommendation, from a pharmacist versus here in the United States. Can you expand a little bit on that?
There's certainly a lot more medications available here without a doctor's prescription than I am familiar with. And certainly I would advise people, if they are able to speak to a pharmacist. Now, I believe that there are not pharmacists in all pharmacies here, so it makes it a little difficult. I don't quite know what Agatha would say on that matter.
I know, Agatha, you've had many years working in the hospital industry in the United States, and I think it's very tightly regulated. Hospital pharmacy versus your on-the-street pharmacy, such as a Walgreens or CVS or Eckert's. Are they different rules and regulations, hospitals, pharmacies versus pharmacies?
Thanks for that question, Michael. Many of the rules and regulations are similar between the sectors in the United States. But as Eleanor was mentioning, there's many prescription drugs that you have to go to a doctor in the United States and then get filled at a pharmacy. Here in Mexico, you would be able to just walk into a pharmacy and actually just pick them up off the shelf yourself. What I would recommend is that you do carry a list of your medications that you've been prescribed from your doctor, because there is a possibility that, say you have a cold or, some minor ailment, your pharmacist in Mexico could actually recommend that you buy something that you already on that's very similar from your doctor in the United States. So that way, as Eleanor mentioned, the pharmacist can compare them and make sure that you don't get two drugs that are the same. same, or that you get two drugs that are having some bad interaction together. So it's very important to carry that list with you, not necessarily your medications themselves, but the list that you've gotten from your doctor in another country, the United States or New Zealand or Canada. And then your pharmacist here can make good recommendations for what you might need, like I say, for a cold or if you have some minor ailment and don't need to go to the doctor here.
Well, I know that when you have a certain illness or something, you can take over-the-counter drugs. And then there's the prescribed drugs. And prescription drugs are usually stronger strengths, maybe a little bit harder, yet you do have to have a prescription in the United States. Down here, I guess what you're saying is that there's a lot of drugs that would be prescribed by a doctor in the United States, but here you don't need that same prescription. You can walk in and get the same medication or something very similar to that that's a little bit stronger over the counter.
That certainly seems to be the situation here. There are drugs that are controlled, and antibiotics apparently have recently been made prescription-only medicines, which means that people do have to go to the doctor here to get an antibiotic for an infection. And I think that's a good thing, because the whole situation around antibiotics is that people build up a resistance to the effectiveness of the medication. So, but there are a lot of medications, blood pressure medications, I can think of pain medications at the lower level of pain control, are readily available over the counter here. So I'd certainly suggest and agree with what Agatha has said about having a list of medications that people are on. You can take them into the pharmacy. You might find that some of those medications are available over the counter, but there will be other medications that people will need to see a doctor here. And my experience with that is that the doctors here are very, very good, particularly the English-speaking ones, are no problem at all with communication.
Well, I know there's a lot of the doctors here in Mexico are trained in the United States.
Yes.
Living in Houston and other parts of the United States for many years, I know a lot of the doctors.
And they're familiar with the medications in the United States as well as what is available here.
One way to buy medication is to go to your pharmacist. Also, since the invention of the internet, online prescription purchasing has become very, very popular all over the world. And I would hope that maybe y'all could expand a little bit on that. There's a lot of people that want to go to the pharmacy, to the brick and mortar building, and get their medications. But a lot of people are buying them online now. What are your feelings about that? Are they getting the same medication? They may be saving a little bit of money, but are they getting the exact same thing because they're not actually seeing the place they're getting them from?
I would certainly advise people to be very careful about the site that they are buying their medications from. There are many, many sites set up as being online pharmaceutical suppliers. I would very strongly recommend that people, if they are buying their medications online, go with an approved site. And the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy in the United States has an approval. And if you look for that on the site, you can be assured that the medication is genuine. You can't necessarily be assured that the medication is genuine unless you buy from those sites.
Could you once more repeat the name of the organization?
The National Association of Boards of Pharmacy in the United States has an approval system for online pharmaceutical sites.
Great. Agatha?
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with Eleanor. That's your safety net for the validity and quality of the drug products that you would receive. As a double check, you might also, if you do purchase from one of these pharmacies, the precautions are to find out where it's been shipped from. Certainly, there are still some internet sites that promote that they may come from the United States when they're actually being shipped from somewhere in Asia or a foreign country. So you would want to verify that what they say they do, they actually do. And then certainly if you do receive a package, it's very important, particularly here because of the climate, that the shipping containers not allow the medications to get too hot. So you don't want them dropped off at the end of your driveway, say, for 3 days while you're taking a vacation up to Guadalajara. You certainly, that's your double check also that you've bought from a reputable online pharmacy and that they are providing the services that you should expect.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned
dates that prescriptions mainly good to up to a year. Mm-hmm. I guess when you're buying online, you really don't know how long that medication has been manufactured. And is there any way to look at a pill or the bottle that it comes in? I guess they can put anything on anything, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, certainly inspecting the medication, particularly if it's a medication that you've been on previously and you know what to expect, if it looks different, or if it looks like the tablets are more crumbly or, you know, not very good just from an appearance standpoint, that would be
not
a precaution.
Discolor,
color.
Maybe? Do medications discolor? I'm sure tablets might.
Yes.
Or the capsules could be softer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that kind of thing is something that would be a warning to people that their medication is maybe not up to standard.
And I think maybe if you do, just a suggestion, and I want your expert opinion on this, say you do go ahead, you order your prescription online, you get your medicine, you feel like it's the same, and you take it for maybe 3 or 4 or 5 days, and you don't feel like it's, you don't feel comfortable with it, it's not doing what your older medication did, should you just completely discontinue using it at that time and consult your pharmacist?
Yes, consult your pharmacist or consult your doctor.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, that would be true even in the United States or in another country. We have had instances certainly where someone may have an allergy to a dye that's a little bit different in a different manufacturer. And so you know your body best and how it reacts to medication. So if you're not getting the effect that you expect or if you're getting a side effect that you didn't have before, it would definitely be prudent to stop that medication and then restart what you were taking previously. But not necessarily, certainly like with the high blood pressure medication, you don't want to just abruptly stop it. You'd like to have another replacement before you do that.
Great. That's great information. I know traditionally, being from the United States, and I know have a lot of friends from Canada, they don't feel good. They go to the doctor writes a prescription, they go to the pharmacist, they get the prescription filled, and they start taking medicine, and hopefully within a short time, they feel better. That's how I was raised, and I think most of us have been. There is other type of alternative medicines, herbal medicines. I know up in Topeka, you have people that can heal you all kinds of different ways. They might have some smoke with some incense, and they might shake some things at you and have a couple beads. But there are other type of healing. I know in the Orient, where I've spent some time, there's a lot of different type of healing there. I think good prayer is about the best thing you can do. But besides that, I'd like to maybe y'all expand a little bit on herbal medicines or that area that I'm talking to, not the traditional.
Well, I don't know how far we're going with this alternative therapy, but certainly.
Well, I think we have a very open crowd and a great listening audience, and whatever you feel like you can talk about, we'd like to do that.
I think that there is a place for herbal medicines, and I think there is a place. As a trained pharmacist, as a scientist, I have some difficulties with some kinds of alternative medicines, for example, homeopathy, but I know that homeopathy works for some people. So be it. I think my main concern as a pharmacist is that the herbal medicines that people take do not interact with their regular medication. And I think this is a very important thing. As a pharmacist in New Zealand, if I were taking a history of somebody's regular medication, I would also be asking them what other medications they were taking, because mm-hmm. there is a potential for interaction. And that would be my main concern about herbal medicines.
I'd certainly agree with Eleanor on that. I trained as a pharmacist a number of years ago, but part of our training was in medications that are from plants. And so certainly those types of, there's salves and all sorts of things which we would consider to be home remedies that are extremely effective and might be prescription drugs if some company decided to go ahead and make them and market them. But certainly there's a role for those. I think one of the other precautions is if you try, say, a salve or, say, an herbal tea, in some cases if you have a stomach ache, I know there are chamomile tea to help sleep. But if you go for, you know, any length of time and your ailment or whatever has caused you to seek a remedy, if you're not feeling better, the precaution is not to stay with the herbal remedies too long. You really do need to, at that time, go to a doctor and see if there's a prescription drug that can help, because there is a limitation on the effectiveness of those. But certainly, I know my mother used to wrap sprains with Epsom salts, and we never went to a doctor for a sprained ankle. So there's certainly those home life remedies that are very effective, but they shouldn't dissuade you when you really do need to go to a doctor to seek help. So,
again, ladies, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come here and visit with us today at the radio station and talk about medicines, herbal drugs, herbal medicines, healings. Do you have any other questions or any other answers, suggestions, things that we could maybe tips we could give to our listening audience about this subject today?
Thanks for the invitation, Michael. It's been very delightful to visit with your audience today. I guess one thing I'd like to emphasize is just really the need to carry a list of your medications with you. Don't take all of your medications with you in the car as you travel throughout the day, because many of the medications are heat sensitive. And certainly seek a pharmacist and their skills and what they can do. Ask questions. Make sure that you understand the medications that you're taking and how they might interact with some things that you might get either over the counter or some of the home remedies that we discussed today.
Thank you, Agatha. And again, thank you very much for taking the time to come and visit with us here on the radio. Eleanor, any closing statements?
Not particularly, Michael, but thank you for inviting me this morning. The Mexican system and the American system is quite different for me. And so I hope I've been able to make a contribution that's been useful this morning.
Thank you very much, Agatha. Thank you, Eleanor. We appreciate you being on the show this morning. We're going to take a short break right now, but we'll be returning very quickly to the Good Morning Wake Up Show here on FM 104.3, University of Guadalajara Radio.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Hello, this is the Good Morning Wake Up Show. How can I help you?
Hey, this is Sayuri.
I am Kumiko.
How can I help you girls today?
We want to know where is the next Science Saturday.
Oh, the next Science Saturday. You mean the science program that we have here for the children every now and then?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you called because it is going to be on Saturday, February 16th.
At what time?
It's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning at the main auditorium.
And what is it about?
Oh, well, this week is going to be a really, really exciting topic. It is going to be about the diversity of the oceans.
Wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to learn about all the different fish, the coral reefs, and everything that we can find out here in the Bay of Banderas. Are you girls going to be able to come?
Of course. Yes.
Hey, I got another idea. After we have the Science Saturday, have your mom and dad let you stay a little bit more, and we can go see the new gourmet garden that they have built here on campus. It has all kinds of fruits and vegetables growing so that students at our culinary school can use them to cook with.
Yes, of course.
So, and we may be able to even go see Goliad, our big 50-year-old 3.5-meter-long crocodile, and the little baby crocodiles that we have on campus, too.
Aww.
Do you think you'd like to see and hold a baby crocodile?
Yes.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and they don't really have too many teeth, so they won't bite you. So, I'm glad you called. Again, it's going to be Science Saturday on Saturday, February 16th at 10 a.m., and it's appropriate for all children from about 3.5 or 4 years old up to high school kids.
Okay.
So I'm glad you called today. And have you all been to Science Saturday before?
Yes.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. Well, again, thank you for calling, and we'll see you on Science Saturday, February 16th at 10 o'clock here in the main auditorium.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a minute. We'll be right back. Well, I want to say thank you very, very much to all the listening audience for tuning in today. I hope you learned an awful lot. There's some great, great events coming up here in the Bay of Banderas. As I mentioned earlier, Medical Matters is this coming Monday at the Marriott Hotel from 9 to 3. Also, in a week or two, we're going to have the great real estate fair. We have the chili cook-off coming up and many, many other events. Don't forget, on February 14th, Fiesta Amor Mexicana. It's a great, great group of people that are hosting a really, really fun event on February 14th from 12 till 5 o'clock. There's going to be music, dancing, great food. And the most important thing, it goes to really, really important project, the EDAD AC Building Fund. They're trying to raise money to building a health care facility for senior citizens, more like a nursing home than anything. And as I mentioned, you can call Jim or Marilyn Moxon at 322-100-7544, or you can email them at J as in John, N as in Knight, M-O-X-I-N, at yahoo.ca for Canada. So it's J-N-M-O-X-I-N at yahoo.ca. This is a very, very important event that I think all of you should go to. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. You can also buy tickets if you'd like at the Bucerias markets that they have every Saturday. I'm sorry, every Wednesday in front of the Chesuawi in Bucerias, and then also at the La Cruz market on Sundays. They will have a booth set up, and I think it's very, very important that you go on the 14th, Valentine's Day, and help contribute to this really, really great project where they're trying to build a home for needy senior citizens. It's just a spectacular project, and we're going to have them back on the air here in a couple of days. But please, on the 14th, go celebrate and help them build this nursing home for the elderly of Puerto Vallarta. It's going to be great because it's going to be free for the elderly. They're not going to have to pay anything. That's the important thing. So once again, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. And again, very, very special happy birthday to the president of the University of Guadalajara here at Cucosta, Dr. Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado. Happy birthday, Marco. We'll be seeing you later on, and hope you enjoy your morning. Well, that's about all. We're out of time. Producer saying, Michael, be quiet for a little bit, till at least a week, so I'm going to do that. I want to say thank you for tuning in once again, and we'll see you again next Saturday here on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Thank you very much, and have a great week. Adios.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.